News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 on the text line 251-343-0106. Welcome back, Dalton. You sound fine. Funny thing is, he sounded fine yesterday for the first 10 minutes, but he was not fine, but back and good to go now. It's 8:07 on Mobile Mornings. Much thanks again to Sean for filling in yesterday afternoon, yesterday morning, and of course doing his show at noon as well.
Yeah, the Iron Man.
Yeah, the Iron
Man. He's the Cal Ripken Jr. of FM Talk 106.5.
He's our Lou Gehrig.
So, of course, there's plenty to talk about, and we could just spend hours talking about what happened in Minneapolis yesterday. Maybe we'll just spend a little bit of time on it coming up, but I was fully intending today to celebrate something really cool that happened yesterday in a spot that we've been to a million times. Bret Baier. I absolutely love his show. I'm sure some people have certain opinions about his politics. I think as far as just as straight as you can get the news for the most part, and he has a lot of commentary on there too.
He does.
From different sides. But as far as the news they put out, the special report with Bret Baier, easily, I think, the most straightforward as far as those go.
And one other thing about Bret Baier, I would say, is that I think not everybody's good at this, but I think he's an excellent interviewer. Mm-hmm. He can get some big interviews. He can get some big personalities, people way in the news that you're interested in what they've got to say. And he's able to conduct those interviews clearly.
Yeah, so like when Zelensky's in town, he comes to his show. Mm-hmm. When insert world leader's name.
Yeah.
They come to special report. I think that's
maybe he'll visit Maduro in jail.
Yeah, maybe he should. But he was visiting our very own USS Alabama at Battleship Memorial Park yesterday. Here's how he opened the show. This was cool.
I'm Bret Baier. We are coming to you live tonight from the USS Alabama in Battleship Memorial Park in Mobile, Alabama, speaking with top military leaders about the Armed Forces shipbuilding effort.
You could see the bayway behind him in a lot of those shots, and I was just hoping, well, in his shot, you could see the battleship, but once he brought the Navy secretary in, you could see I-10 behind him, the causeway and the bayway, and I was just hoping, man, can we not... Actually, maybe that would have been the time to see a nice big backup on the bayway. Say, hey, look at America. What we deal with. Yeah. Although,
but most of America's like saying, we've got our own traffic problems in City X, you know.
And I think they filmed most of that with the Navy secretary earlier in the day. But it was cool. So he went from that. He did some news. Of course, there's plenty of news for them to discuss. And then he would cut back to interviews. Now, most of his interviews, he went over to Pascagoula and was doing interviews in the Ingalls Shipyard over there. He talked to one of the head honchos first, who was kind of laying out how many different vessels they're working on, some big old ships they're working on over there. And then a little later on in the show, he talked with a couple of the actual shipbuilders, the dudes who show up, work their butts off every day on certain parts of these ships, and that was really cool too.
You were saying that was, and again, that's good thinking. That's good planning to get to like every level of the industry, the workplace. When you get down to the gentlemen on the lines themselves, and they had some interesting things to say too, right?
They really did. And they were saying, you know, you focus on, and I think so many jobs are like this, they're like, you're focused on your duties,
your task
throughout the day, which for them is working on a specific part of the shipbuilding process. They said, you take a step back and look, they are building some monstrous, beautiful ships. And then you take into account how important that is for your country and the defense of your country. Just hats off to all of you in the not just the marine industries, but the defense and everything. And we can also get into kind of the shot that Trump took yesterday at the defense industry as a whole, and specifically Raytheon. But he came back to the park and talked with the Navy Secretary, John Phelan. And here was part of that conversation. He kind of starts it off with a little history of the Mighty A, and then gets into an interesting conversation with the Navy Secretary. I'll just play this a couple minutes long. I thought it was great.
The USS Alabama, a South Dakota-class battleship nicknamed the Mighty A, served in the Atlantic and Pacific theaters in World War II before being decommissioned in 1947. It opened as a museum ship, a National Historic Landmark in Mobile Bay in 1965. The USS Alabama, we're sitting in front of the museum here, was 45,000-ton battleship. The president's now announced the plans to build this Trump-class battleship, 35,000-ton ship, and the first ship named Defiant as part of this Golden Fleet. We've seen the pictures of it. It would be the largest non-aircraft carrier ship the Navy has built since World War II. What do you envision for this Golden Fleet?
First of all, Brett, thank you for having me. And I think it's really special to be in front of the USS Alabama, known as the Mighty A or the Lucky A, fought both in the Atlantic and the Pacific, won 9 battle stars. And to be able to talk in front of this winner about the president's Golden Fleet, which he's made possible, is really an honor. So thank you for that. I think, look, at the end of the day, the Golden Fleet is about three things. It's about maintaining and enhancing the Navy's maritime dominance. It's about revitalizing the maritime industrial base. And it's thirdly about changing the way we do business. So the Golden Fleet includes carriers, destroyers, submarines, and new concepts to take advantage of things we're learning. It also includes unmanned, so high-low is really the strategy we're going after.
Drones, etc. Yes. And for the people who say, well, that's the future of the military, why are you not just focusing on drones and unmanned vehicles? What do you say to that?
Yeah, what I say to that is, how would Operation Absolute Resolve have occurred if all we had were drones? It doesn't work. And the bottom line is, there is no more better projection of forward power than a United States Navy vessel.
And Operation Absolute Resolve, of course, he's referring to the operation that lifted Maduro out of his military compound there, he and his wife, and they're now sitting in a New York jail. And, of course, the Navy did play just an absolutely massive role.
Incredible.
You had the Iwo Jima down there and all of these other ships. And it's really cool that they were there. But also, it's kind of like, to me, saying with this Trump presidency, and yesterday was a huge day as far as initiatives that Trump voters wanted to see underway,
yep,
not just regarding the military, but this could be great news for the Gulf Coast, much less to say the entire country, because of the defense it could represent. But whether it's the oil from Venezuela, and they're saying the Gulf refineries should see some extra work there. But you look at this shipbuilding, and remember, he had the president back in April, so he signed the executive order restoring America's maritime dominance. You have the Maritime Action Plan. That was the order to mandate the creation of a comprehensive plan to strengthen the industrial base and workforce for the maritime industry. They wanted to create maritime prosperity zones with that order, proposed creating specialized investment zones modeled after the 2017 Tax Cuts and Job Acts opportunity zones to incentivize shipyard development and infrastructure. I mean, you could see how these things would be big for our area, and also to counter China. Specifically in that order, they said we need to reduce U.S. reliance on foreign-built ships, which means build more ships in America. And then you fast forward to just before Christmas when he announced the Golden Fleet,
yeah,
that Bear was referencing in that interview with the Navy Secretary.
I love that he came here.
Yeah.
You know, they looked at the optics of the Alabama were so beautiful. That probably that could have played a role certainly that they chose to put a shot from the Alabama, but the story itself, they're right here in Ingalls, and looks like they may be at Austell today, by the way.
Oh, really?
Well, there's Cheese Wagon says looks like there's more VIPs at Austell today. He says Mobile police are escorting 3 Black Tahoes into Austell.
Wow.
Yeah.
That maybe he's spending maybe a couple days here.
Right. Maybe that's where they get their side of the story.
Maybe he's listening right now, so he'll know what to put in the news tonight. But
so I talked with Dan and Dalton this morning.
So with the Golden Fleet, you know, he of course said the USS Defiant's going to launch that new class of large warships. He wants to get 2 of those built immediately, which hopefully doesn't mean 5 to 6 years, and they're able to, I'm sure it will take some time, but the long-term goal to build 20 to 25 of those vessels intended to be larger and faster than previous battleships, and also announced a new frigate program too, the Constellation class. So a lot going on, and Ingalls, Austell, I think so many of these shipbuilding companies down here, and those are certainly not the only two, could see some some good work come out of all of this. And
Golden Age.
It's interesting, too, they mentioned the drones. And, well, that's the future of warfare, right? Not just aerial drones, but water drones, naval drones. And the Navy secretary there was like, not so fast, my friend. No. You need men on ships in many cases. That wouldn't have been possible what we pulled off with Maduro without that. Because really kind of the...
They weren't down there for window dressing. And they were down there for weeks.
Still are, I believe.
They're still there. But you're right. I mean, they played a crucial role in that.
Yeah. And think, too, about the Coast Guard taking off after some of these ghost fleet vessels. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens with that one that they ended up pulling a Russian flag up on and saying they were protected by Russia and they had a Russian sub. It's the Marinara, or yeah. It's Marine Era or something like that. It was known as the Bella One.
Yeah.
Shady. Oil ship. And they're saying that might have actually been carrying
weapons. The other thing about, that was interesting. I believe that, is it Austal that's got the Coast Guard?
Coast Guard cutters, yeah.
We're playing a big role in all this.
Sure are. And then you kind of take into that, too, what Trump had to say yesterday about the defense industry, which was a real shot across the bow. He first said he was preparing to sign an executive order. I don't know if he signed that yesterday or not, to reshape the defense industry by punishing contractors that run over budget or behind schedule while they continue to pay large dividends, buy back stock, or award high executive compensation. Now, there are some questions here about the president's role in getting involved in private business, but at the same time, you're talking about these companies that are more or less, they play a massive role in the defense of the United States. So this executive order would cap executive pay at $5 million and would pressure companies to reinvest in plants, equipment, and faster weapons production. The enforcement details remain unclear. And then he specifically singled out Raytheon, saying it has been the least responsive to Pentagon needs and could even lose Defense Department contracts if it fails to ramp up its investment and its output. And tough stance with him and Hegseth. Hegseth's been warning contractors they'll be rewarded for delivering on time and on budget and replaced if they don't adapt. And it seems like there's more and more companies that what has for a long time been almost monopolized the defense industry by just a couple of companies, a few companies. There's more companies that are up and coming that may be getting a lot more of those contracts.
You know, and I know I just want to get quickly to the political side of all this, too, because there's a lot of people who are – the left is kind of finding whatever they can harp about, right, including Venezuela. And I know it was obviously a very unconventional mission strike. It was amazing the way it happened.
Flawless almost.
Flawless. Now you may have your differences with the way that Trump went about it. Maybe you think he could have consulted Congress, whatever. That's fine. But this was not the interruption of like the day-to-day of this peaceful nation, right? Mm-hmm. These protesters or these people saying free Maduro and everything like that. There's not a soul in Venezuela saying free Maduro except the people that were part of all that corruption.
His cronies.
And the more I read about Venezuela and just the depth of all of the corruption, it's not like they allowed things to happen. They were part of the mechanism of it happening. That was about it. They have gone off the far edge as far as any nation could possibly go.
Yeah.
If there was one nation deserving of this sort of treatment by the United States, especially one in our hemisphere, bingo, they're it.
And let me play this quickly, too, while we're talking about Venezuela, because there was announcements yesterday about how the United States kind of plans to go about all of that oil that's coming from there, the 50 million barrels of oil that Trump says Venezuela will give the United States, and then the proceeds will be managed by the U.S. government, and that they will be giving quite a bit of that money, pouring it back into Venezuela. Here was Energy Secretary Chris Wright talking about that yesterday.
We're going to market the crude coming out of Venezuela, first this backed up stored oil, and then indefinitely going forward, we will sell the production that comes out of Venezuela into the marketplace.
And then, again, like I said earlier, kind of actions are the refineries around the Gulf Coast going to see from that?
Yeah. Seems like good news, right? I just thought it was so cool. And so we'll see. Keep an eye on Fox. Maybe they're still broadcasting live today.
I was hoping they'd show some from Austal, so I hope they're doing that.
might be what they're doing now. 821. Good morning, Dan, Brennan, Dalton, Orwig. Your thoughts on the text line, 251-343-0106. Mobile Mornings rolling on.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning, 826. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. So it's usually mid-afternoon. I'll get around to the computer and start working on what's up for this morning, right? You do it too, maybe a little bit later, but we come and we try to combine all the news. Well, the headline yesterday, I could see clearly, was out of Minneapolis.
Yeah.
With that shooting, even though we had so much news yesterday and a continuation of a lot of stories we're following, locally and otherwise, that became story number one.
Yeah, you think about what all went down in D.C. I mean, they changed the food pyramid.
Yep.
Trump backhand slapped BlackRock in the defense industry.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the UN, he said, we're not going to fund 60 different organizations that are UN or outside of the UN.
He's also trying to chase big business financiers, investors out of buying.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Single-family homes.
With BlackRock and some of those companies.
I got it. Okay, yeah.
But so news item after news item out of D.C., but it was all, of course, eclipsed by that ICE shooting in Minneapolis. And it's crazy. You know, I watched the video just like everyone else watched it when it came out. And then you also hear more of the context that these ICE officers, which have been basically, protesters have been hounding them like this the entire time they've been in Minneapolis and surrounding them and coming after them. Did you see that video of the guy trying to pull the officer's pepper ball weapon away from him? And then he got shot right in the side of the face and neck right after. I mean, he was trying to pull it off of the officer.
Yeah.
That's what they've been dealing with for a long time. And Noam even said that this officer that was the one who shot the protester, he previously this summer was hit and dragged by a vehicle. She said there were four, including this one yesterday, where these protesters or domestic terrorists were trying to use their vehicles as a ramming object. And you go from the Minneapolis mayor to the Minnesota governor, who ramped up the rhetoric. I mean, these people were looking for a martyr. And the fact that this happened less than a mile from where the George Floyd shooting took place,
yeah, right.
Or not shooting, but the George Floyd incident took place. I wonder if it'll pop off like that. That was during the summer. It's a lot colder in Minnesota now, so I'm not sure if that plays a role in this or not. But they wanted a martyr like this, and that was even more clear. I played a clip from Jimmy Kimmel last night. It was disgusting. He brought out a shirt that said, Donald J. Trump wants to kill you. Another shirt that says, get the blank out of Minneapolis, echoing the words of the Minneapolis mayor.
Yeah, I mean, imagine Jimmy Kimmel uses the death of the woman. And, you know, you can throw all kinds of stuff at it. Yet she was in the wrong. Yes, she wasn't listening to them. Yes, they were frightened because they were surrounded. She might have been frightened and panicked. I don't know. But the death of the woman was a one-liner in Jimmy Kimmel's monologue.
Yeah.
He used the death of the woman for a ha-ha.
For an audience that
went along with it. And laughed out loud at it as well.
And as a means to go after Trump,
which
is what they've wanted this whole time. And there have been so many of these where the protester that was using their vehicle as a battering ram or as an object to kill were not shot by ICE. And this time it happened. And it was exactly what they wanted to see happen. I mean, keep in mind, this woman and her girlfriend or wife, whoever was filming this from outside the vehicle, moved from Colorado. I don't know how long they've been in Minneapolis. She has a child.
Mm-hmm.
Child that's now parentless because her husband died a few years back. I don't know how or why. What's she doing out there blocking ICE from their operations?
And we know the way Minnesota daycares work. Not well.
No.
With SRN News, I'm Rex Thomason in Washington. It happened in the midst of a powder keg situation as ICE agents were confronted by agitating protesters. The agents tried to enforce federal immigration law in Minneapolis. A motorist in her vehicle was shot dead by an ICE officer. Homeland Security Secretary Noam says all the motorist had to do to avert the tragedy was to comply with the agent's orders, put the vehicle in park, and exit the vehicle. The feds say the shooting was clearly an act of self-defense. That's challenged, though, by Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. A shooting outside a Mormon church in Salt Lake City left two people dead, six others injured. Happened yesterday in the building's parking lot. Dozens of people were attending a funeral inside at the time. Police do not believe it was a random attack, and there have been no arrests as of now. Stocks opening lower this morning on Wall Street. More details, srnnews.com.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
834 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Going to check in with Rob Hulbert in another stacked copy of the Lanyap on stands and online now. We'll talk with him in just a minute. And I'll also get to your texts. There are plenty of them before the end of the show. I think Dan said it best earlier in the day. From now through Monday, we got football, and it's win or go home in every single one of those games. We start with the college playoffs, semifinals tonight, Ole Miss and Miami, and then Oregon, Indiana tomorrow night, and then the wild card round for the NFL begins. So the playoffs are here, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all of the gridiron action. You can make entries, and you can win money right now, right here in Alabama. Playing on Underdog is easy. All you have to do is choose if your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, receptions, and more. And for Wild Card Weekend, Underdog is adding a gimme pick on a quarterback of your choice from any of the Wild Card games to get started. A gimme pick from any of those NFL Wild Card games. If you get your entries right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. So what are you waiting for? It's as good a time as any to download the Underdog app today. Use promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, and score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton, Underdog. Make plays, win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing. Get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
836, Rob Hulbert with Lanyap Mobile. Joined us on the line right now. Rob, good Thursday morning, which means we're inching toward the weekend. And hope you had a happy new year, man.
I know. Happy New Year to you guys. It's been a little bit.
Appreciate
it. It has, and it feels...
It's a little break from each other. I miss you.
Yeah, we miss you, too.
Yeah, we talked to our counselor. It was needed.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
But no break for you and the staff at Lanyap. Plenty to write about over Christmas and the New Year, and it seems that that tends to be, while most of the area tries to take some time off, that's when the crime gets lit, and there's plenty of that to cover, of course. And you start with this past Sunday and the barricaded home, these two people who came from Michigan a few years back and said they had a trap for law enforcement set, according to the police chief Jackson. And unfortunately, we had one officer, Lieutenant Lorenzo Matthews, who was shot, and it was a really bad shot. He had some tough surgery, and thankfully he's lived through it, and hopefully he continues to improve in his condition. They have a GoFundMe set up for his recovery as well. But, man, what a terrible time down in Midtown on Sunday.
Yeah, it's kind of an amazing thing, and I'm really glad that the officer's doing well. And, it could have been a lot worse. And it's just amazing to think that was going on. People were freaking out and sending. I mean, I was getting texts left and right from people who weren't anywhere near it. That everybody in Midtown was like, "What are we supposed to do?" And like, I don't. Mm. You know, we had Grant McLaughlin was out there on the scene pretty quickly, and then Kyle Hamrick also got out there. But it's still sort of just a real mystery. We're trying to find out who these people are and what. Why did this happen, or where do they come from? They don't seem to have any criminal history that we can find. And, I mean, it's just, all of it's bizarre. It is, they had all sorts of water bottles and non-perishable foods and things like that. They were basically like they were, trying to be the next version of the Branch Davidians and hold up in there for weeks and weeks or something. I don't, what their ultimate plan was. I mean, when you look at the mugshots, you're kind of like, gosh, I wonder if they're on meth or something. Mm-hmm. It's a little rough, but it's a strange program. And, I think we had two other, weird police situations that within a couple, within 48 hours, period of time, there was, a guy over in Baldwin County, who was barricaded for a little bit, and then of course the officers who got shot at by a guy in a businessman, I guess they went into, they thought that there was a burglary going on, and he shot at them, and they shot him.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he did not die, but so it's just, it was pretty wild. It's a very crazy experience for folks here, and I thought, you know, really the police handled it amazingly
And,
you know, when you think about, they were shot at, I think, 50 times.
Yes.
And, you know, didn't end up killing those people and end up getting them in custody safely and with, you know, I mean, unfortunately, it was an officer hurt. But, you know, when you think about those old houses in Midtown, wooden frame houses, you start shooting bullets in there, they're going right straight through.
No kidding.
Yeah, very easily could have gone a different way and really did. I mean, with the officer that was shot, that was not, I mean, he was hit in or near the abdomen, and it sounds like he had pretty intensive surgery, and fortunately he made it through that. But what you said is so spot on. The way that Mobile police handled this, it sounds like they locked down the neighborhood, you know, and got everyone aware that they didn't need to leave their house. This is a really dangerous situation. But then to use the full array of the options they have, they were using drones, I guess. They brought the SWAT team out to surround the perimeter. They had the big Bearcat there. And I really, too, Rob, in these early months of the mayor, Spiro, his first term here, I thought he was right on top of it as well. He was getting the information out there Sunday afternoon. In his newsletter, he said all the right things. Props to Mayor Spiro Chiarigotis. I thought he's been handling this well.
Yeah, and I think also props to the police as well for getting information out there. They did a good job with it, and they were quick to get as much information as they could to people. It was a little chaotic, but they didn't really know what they were dealing with either. So, you know, it takes a little bit of time. It's, you know, and you start seeing stuff showing up all over, you know, next door and that kind of stuff. And it's, I heard this and I heard that. And it's, some of it's accurate, some of it's not. And, you know, that's what, you know, reporters are supposed to do. And that's why we wait and try to get things that are verified. But, you know, there's still a lot of information that was out there that was not correct online, but the officers had to, you know, the police department had to correct, and some things even that they found out, you know, early on. They said the guy was 4 years old, and they found out he's 27. So, I mean, not a great big detail, but it's just, but they did a really good job of getting information out, I think, in a timely fashion, and the mayor as well.
I think their first court appearance is today.
Yes.
I believe. So, you know, at some point, there will be a trial, and then they're going to have some truth. We'll fill in some of the blanks here.
And they also had the bond hearing, and the female said, I don't want out.
Yeah.
You need to keep me in here. That was interesting.
There's a lot of craziness to this. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Thank God the police really are, thank God they're all alive. I mean, my God, that was just awful.
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah, thank God nobody got hurt in the neighborhood, too.
Yes.
It seems like, from what we understand, they shot at somebody's house, more or less, just to get all this thing going. It's what the police say at this point. I don't know. You know, they haven't really showed us all they haven't really revealed a lot of what they know, so we'll find that out as time goes on. But I know that District Attorney Keith Blackwood really intends to go after this hard, and I mean, I think they have over $3 million in bonds. So, I mean, they're pretty serious about keeping them there.
Yeah, and it's, you mentioned, too, the clarity coming from police and from the mayor's office. Well, Lanyap knows a little bit about when some folks don't want to give information, and you're always seeming to have to, you know, slam your head against the wall to get some of this information out there. And there's been questions for over a year now about the split between former MAA President Chris Curry and the Mobile Airport Authority. And not everything is crystal clear, but I know Scott Johnson wrote a fantastic article kind of digging into a trip that Curry took to China and how that changed some of the rules surrounding executive travel with the Mobile Airport Authority.
Yeah, Scott's done a bunch of digging into it. And, you know, there was a trip that he took to China. He paid for everything himself. Is reimbursed, and you know, there's nobody is saying that Chris did anything wrong, but you know, in the heels of that, the Continental Motors out there, which is owned by, it's a Chinese company, made an effort to try to buy property from the airport authority, which they would not have legally been able to do.
Right.
Airport authority to our, we don't see anywhere where they responded and said, hey, yeah, let's do it or anything like that. But there was an attempt to do that. There was, and then on the heels of it also, there was, they started rearranging all the rules of travel and wanted to put more oversight over Curry and that kind of thing. And it was, you know, by the time they did all that, it took them close to a year to reorganize all those things, but they started talking about it pretty shortly after his return.
And he was, but he, upon his return, but he was gone then inside a month or two, was he not?
No, not from the trip. No, he was there for about another year.
Okay.
But that he was gone shortly after the rules were changed.
Ah, I got it. I got it.
The rules had this, but they started talking about changing the rules very shortly.
Immediately.
After he came back.
Right. Right. He put a lot of stuff on his
person. A lot of stuff there. There's a lot of details there, but you know, it's just one of those things that we've been trying to look into and see what went on there, because not everything adds up at face value sometimes. It looks a little different. Yeah. But a lot of the.
Yep. You still there, Rob? I think we lost you.
Okay. And I don't, as far as why he was traveling the way he was traveling, that also didn't make a lot of sense. But, and obviously they've decided that it didn't work well, and they wanted to change all that.
Yeah, it kind of just on its face, not a great look. If it looks like somebody's being wined and dined by a company that's basically ran by one of your country's adversaries, but like he said, there wasn't any deal agreed to, and then for them to use that as an opportunity to really dot their I's and cross their T's as far as what is and isn't allowed, they took that and went with it.
Almost immediately. No more years through the personal credit card. You have to go through the travel agency, so everything's above board. I get that.
Also, I've really loved your kind of run of stories here about state incentives and bringing companies into the state of Alabama and what they're more or less being paid by the state to come in. You've ran several of these stories, and then kind of the wrap up for 2025, over $400 million in tax credits awarded.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And, the questions, of course, are just, sometimes it's worth it, sometimes it's not. You have to look at those things. One of the things that was interesting about it is that in some of those cases, they didn't have to tell anybody about it until long after it was done. So those are things that got done and we didn't know about it until after, basically after the deal was done and far after it was done. I always think when we look at those incentives, they're great if they really work out, but I don't know that we really have much follow-up on what they work out a lot of times. We give these people an incentive, but did they actually produce what they're supposed to do, or did they actually bring these jobs? Was it worthwhile?
And
we're quick to sling out these incentives a lot of times.
Well, they like the press release. They like they love the big splash, right? Like these jobs are coming to Alabama or whatever state, and then the follow-up on it all, but not always as thorough.
Well, I think a lot of people, if you're in a business, a lot of small business owners feel like, hey, we don't get anything. We're producing just as many jobs or more jobs than some of these incentives are, and we don't get anything. But if somebody's bringing 12 jobs, they get an incentive package. I think that all those things just. I really wish what they would do after the fact is have to explain to show 2-3 years down the road, hey, this is what we've gotten out of it. This is what it's been worth it or it's not been worth it. It'd be nice to have someone.
Yeah, scorecard.
Who's sort of a critical scorecard of it. Yeah, who's not just somebody from that department, but somebody who's maybe just an ombudsman or something, and look at it and say, yeah, this has been worthwhile. This hasn't been worthwhile.
Yeah, if we're going to give you all these incentives to move in, we need to know, how's it going? Yeah. Let us know if our money is going to a good cause. And we'll kind of wrap on this and leave it as more of a cliffhanger because folks need to read the cover story this week. Scott Johnson, who, man, he must have writer's cramp after this week. He's been writing some big stuff, but Afghan Special Forces ally began American Dream in Mobile. Good stuff there, and that's in the latest edition of Lanyap, where folks can pick it up now on stands, or better yet, read it online, right?
Yeah, they can, and I also just want to point out, too, that Mobile Mask will be coming out today, hitting the stands, our Mardi Gras magazine. It is fabulous, so check it out. If you're looking around, it's really a cool magazine. Yeah. You can go online and sign up for LanyapMobile.com and get Lanyap Daily. I think we did 3,600 stories on Lanyap Daily last year, so there's a lot there.
Well, another big corporation swallowed up a publication. There you go, Lanyap.
That's right.
Lanyap, now the Mobile Mask. What, can you just leave us with something?
We're trying.
And poor Tommy Hicks has had to write about 100 stories on the transfer portal.
It's been a busy
one for him, too.
That's almost impossible to keep up with. Rob, thanks a bunch, man, and Happy New Year.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
You got it.
Rob Hobert with Lanyap.
LanyapMobile.com. I wonder if Rob is familiar with Scott Mann and the former Green Beret and the author and the playwright and all that, considering that story about the Afghan guy that worked with our special forces in Mobile.
Yeah. We need to get him linked
up.
It's
a good story.
He's got plenty to write about with Scott Mann.
Yeah.
Goodness knows.
Yeah.
He's prolific, that's for sure.
Really is.
And a great American. 8:50, we come back. I want to get to as many of these texts as we can, plus let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show. Give you a little hint. His first guest could be the next governor of Alabama.
Who is that, Dalton?
I don't know.
Dan and Dalton.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, same old song and dance. Aerosmith, they could have been talking about the left-wing protests.
No kidding.
Same old song. Yeah, no matter what it is.
Going to find something.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, Tommy Tuberville joins in hour number one. Congressman Barry Moore, who's running for that open Senate seat, joins Jeff at after 10:30, and then he'll give way to April Marie Fogle for that last hour of the Jeff Poor Show. I want to get to a couple texts and then a call. Greg says, regarding Minneapolis and other cities, mostly blue ones, if people didn't resist or impede police work, incidents like yesterday wouldn't happen. What happened was justified based on the actions of the lady who was killed. Maz says, I wasn't sure about the Minneapolis shooting when just seeing the incident from behind the vehicle. Once I saw the video from the front, there's no doubt in my mind the ICE agent acted appropriately. And Squirrel Vereen said, how about not feeding into the narrative of making Minneapolis ICE story number one? I know it shows us how idiotic the state leaders are. I wouldn't say idiotic, but also inflammatory in ways that we haven't seen. And I think Shane wants to kind of talk about that inflammatory rhetoric as well. He joins us on the phone line. Hey, Shane, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all guys?
Good, man.
I just want to say this. Growing up, I can remember watching Johnny Carson, David Letterman, Jay Leno. I don't ever remember them attacking federal law enforcement, the president, or anything like that. Where did we go wrong?
Well, one of the places we went wrong, it's not just the late night comics. They're just a sliver of it. You've got elected officials now giving instructions to people about fighting federal agents. I mean, it's a world I can't quite wrap my head around, Shane.
I mean, I agree with y'all. I'm 45, and I was taught you respect your elders, not to mention law enforcement. You comply, you don't. I've got friends, Mobile, kind of all over the country, that's law enforcement and feds, and it's just ridiculous. I couldn't do their job, don't want to do their job, because the lack of respect is just completely out the window and has been for years.
A little bit like being a teacher. Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, and, after Jimmy Kimmel was, of course, in Trump's crosshairs earlier this year, and there was a big discussion about, the executive office getting involved in something like that. And I love that as a country we can still have those conversations. Last night, I thought what he did was just disgusting. I didn't watch it live. I saw some clips this morning. But keep in mind, too, just like the George Floyd video from bystanders and so many others, including some from right around here, even when you think you've got enough context to make a full reaction,
you generally do
reaction, you don't. And these protesters have been angling for something like this to happen so that they would have a martyr for so long. And I really...
It happened.
Whatever is in the mind of these people... So ICE is there taking dangerous criminals off the streets. I mean, you look at the rap sheets of some of these illegal immigrants who were actually, many of them, let out by that crooked governor, Tim Walz. you know, rapists, murderers, thieves, fraudsters, yes, which we learn more about every single day.
I think that's some of the, what they've been sweeping up now with all that Somali fraud. That's just disgusting.
And keep in mind that they've been hounded by these protesters day in and day out as they go on with these operations. And the officer who fired the shots was apparently hit and dragged by a vehicle earlier this summer. I imagine in his mind, he said, I'm not going to let that happen again.
You know, and they were broke down, too. I mean, they were stuck. They just
stuck and surrounded.
They just completed a mission. They were minding their own business. They were just heading back to the headquarters. They get stuck because of the terrible weather, the snow. Now they're stuck, and suddenly they're stuck, and they're targeted because you have all these people come around them seeing that they're not going anywhere soon. They're trying to push their vehicle out, and they just, they're kind of like sitting ducks.
Yeah.
And so it happened in the context of all of that. Keep in mind, and I've got to see every angle on the
he was hit by the vehicle. He was,
yeah, but I'm, some angles I think are more tell the story better than others.
Yeah, and so she had him blocked in. She's like cosplaying as this revolutionary, and then when she's told by police to stop and get out of the vehicle, she accelerates towards one of the police officers. What did she think was going to happen? Not that. Let's see a couple other of these texts here. So Squirrel Vereen regarding Chris Curry, he said Chris Curry's hiring stalled the momentum of economic development at Brooklea. There's a plan and goal of reviving the whole place as an aero cluster, focusing on Airbus contractors and others. Building renovations stopped as the MAA focused on the airport shift. Within a year of Curry's hiring, several administrative people left. And when good managers leave, so do their workers. It sounds like you have a pretty good read on that situation, Squirrel Marine.
Yeah.
And Derek says, with all this Venezuela oil moving in, my gas better be 57 cents a gallon. I don't think big oil is going to allow that, Derek.
Good luck with that one, Derek.